Shalom, shalom, everybody, and a very, very warm welcome to this special Restoration Hour, as it is Shavuot. And you know what? Chag Sameach from us. Happy Shavuot. And as it just begins, and I know some of you are a couple of hours behind us, so you are still waiting for that time to begin. That's perfectly all right. We are in the Shavuot spirit. And you know what? It is just such a blessing to be here with you today. May we just experience the fullness of Abba Father's great love, His great grace, His amazing goodness. And you know, it's just such a beautiful, beautiful time to gather together to really reflect on what the Spirit is saying to us. And yes, you know, revelation falls each and every single year. You know, sometimes it's very much revelation about what is Shavuot about. Or, you know, last year we were speaking about the spirit of Shavuot and what happens when we are filled with the Ruach, what happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the dry bones getting life again. It was when that breath came into them that life stood up. But I believe that Abba Father has a very specific message for us, the Shavuot, and He wants us to receive that. And, you know, it is so important for us just to be positioned, just to be in this time, to make our hearts open and our lives just open before Yeshua, that He can speak to us. May we each walk away with a depth of revelation, truth spoken to us. And may we all walk away knowing greater what our mandate is, knowing what our purpose is, knowing what it is that Abba Father is saying to us right now in this generation, in this moment, in this hour. And so again, like I said, welcome to those of you who are joining us for Shavuot. It is great to be here. And I want to wish Yosef such a wonderful, wonderful welcome. And also to say that please join with us in prayer, as Yosef had a terrible bump on the head today and has a slight concussion, but is still here during Shavuot. So please do pray with us. We hope that he recovers really, really well and really, really soon. And Yosef, even though you're not feeling good, I know that you're excited about Shavuot, and it's wonderful for us to gather together and, you know, bless you as you are here with us today.
Amen. Shalom to every one of you, and it's great to be on the Restoration Hour. You know, Leah, this time and this festival is one of those times that I really believe is really a special festival. It's one of those festivals, all the festivals are important and blessed. I just always have this great desire and this fire that burns inside of me when we get to Shavuot, because it is so important for us to be filled with the Ruach of Yahweh and to be, you know, His ambassadors, those carriers of His glory, and people that really make a difference. And I really feel that this evening, as you said, that Abba Father has a message for this generation, for this time, and that it's important that as we celebrate these festivals, we say it often, but we need to, you know, get those basics done. We need to get the basics done, and we need to get our basics laid out so that we can be stepping forward with the Father. Mm-hmm. And it's important that each one of us, you know, that we learn about what these festivals mean. And once we've learned, that we do, that we begin to apply what the festival means, but also asking the Father, what do you want to say to me this season of my life? Mm-hmm. What are you saying collectively as you know, as the body of Messiah Yeshua? What are you saying to us as the body? And what are you saying to me as your servant? Where can I participate in your work and what you want me to do? So tonight, I pray that you will have ears to hear and that your heart will be receptive, that you will be people that will say to yourselves, hey, you know what? I've come here this evening with no preconceived ideas. I've come here to receive. I lay it down. I let go of everything that I've been holding on to, and I just want to receive. I want to receive not only the fullness of the Ruach, but I also want to receive the voice of the Father. I want to receive what He's saying to me right now, and that you come with an expectant heart. So let's pray, and then let's get into this evening. Father, we want to thank you in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Father, that you have given us your Spirit, your Ruach. Father, that your Ruach guides us into all truth. That your Ruach, Father, is that fire that burns within us. Father, purifying us, setting us apart, Father, getting us ready, Father, for the work that is lying ahead. And Father, we really want to pray this evening, Father, that your Spirit will flow in us and through us. And Father, that we will really have those ears that hear and the eyes that see. And Father, that we will be receptive to your voice and allow your Spirit, Father, to guide us. I pray, Father, that the message that we'll share this evening, Father, will be a message of encouragement, but also a message, Father, that spurs us on, Father, to becoming the people that you want us to be in this generation and doing what you have called us to do in this generation. So, Father, we thank you for those that have joined us. We pray for those that will join us later, those that will listen later on YouTube, Father. We pray in the name of Yeshua that you will richly bless them, Father, and give them, Father, just this great shalom, Father, over their hearts and over their lives. And we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know, 2 Peter 3, verse 10 to 11 says the following, and it's such an important scripture, and it's going to be our highlight point of what we're going to be sharing with you, the message that Yeshua has laid on our hearts this evening for Shavuot. And it says the following: the day of Yeshua will come like a thief, and then the heavens will vanish with a mighty thunderous roar, and the material elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and the works that are on it will all be burnt up. Since all of these things are to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people are you to be in the meantime, in holy behavior, that is, in a pattern of daily life that sets you apart as a believer, and in godliness, displaying profound reverence towards our awesome God? Now, it does go on, and we will touch on that later. But, you know, I want to say, what kind of people are we to be? What kind of people are we to consistently be? There is such an important reality that we can grasp fully with our hands. And that is that, you know, when the Spirit fell in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit was given on the day of Shavuot, as many call Pentecost, and we're gonna look at Acts as well today, but when the Spirit fell, we know that what the story was, 120 people gathered in the upper room, and we know the disciples, many people that followed Yeshua, Yeshua's mother was there, his brothers were there, many of the women that followed Yeshua, many people were there. And they were all together, and they were waiting and waiting and waiting, waiting for 10 days. Yeshua didn't tell them how long they needed to wait. He just said, go and wait. Mm. And they waited, you know. And it, you know, something that you and I were saying before we did the broadcast was, it must have been quite interesting to wait, because, you know, Yeshua just says, go and wait. He doesn't say how long. So it's a case of day two, you're kind of there. Day three, you're kind of there. Day four, you're kind of wondering what's happening. Day five, you're also beginning to think, maybe this is not what he meant. You know, maybe there's a different way we should be waiting. What did he really mean? Day six, day seven, day eight, day nine. You know, by nature, we are generally quite, you know, impatient people. Sure. And we tend to glorify, or how can I say, spiritualize people in the Bible and go, they must have just been waiting. It must have been so great. I'm sure there was doubts. I'm sure there was, maybe that's not what he said. Maybe that's not what he meant. What's happening? I'm hungry. I'm tired. Yes, I'm sure they did eat. I'm sure I would have definitely been hungry and, you know, definitely needed to eat. There was that sense of waiting that was there, and it had to be there. And so too, that really mirrors what we are facing now. We are in a sense of waiting for Yeshua to return. Amen. Some people go, oh, Yeshua is going to return in our lifetime. Others say Yeshua will return, you know, in our children's lifetime, in our grandchildren's lifetime. We don't know, but we are in a waiting period. We are waiting, and we are sitting waiting. How should we be living while we are waiting? How was their response to be while they were waiting? They did not know when the Spirit was going to fall. Yeshua decided on that 10th day that it was going to come, and that's when it came. That's when it appeared, and that's when everything happened. And we are in a place of waiting as well. We are waiting for Yeshua to return. We are waiting for that great and wonderful day when he will be coming back. Mm. As much as it's a great and wonderful day, the Bible tells us that it's going to be a day of fire as well. And it says that all things, there's going to be that intense heat. The earth, the works of the earth, everything is going to be burnt up. These things will be destroyed. What kind of people are we to be in the meantime? We are to be people who are to be holy, pursuing holy, a pattern of daily life that sets you apart as a believer. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Every time we do teachings, people ask us, what version of the Bible do you read? I use the Amplified Version of the Bible. I enjoy it. I like it. And it says, the holy behavior is the pattern of daily life that sets you apart as a believer. What sets you apart as a believer today? Is it the fact that you say, oh, I believe in Yeshua? You know, a lot of people go to that. I believe in Yeshua. That's what sets me apart. Mm. But there's a pattern of daily life, of a holiness, you know, that we need to be living by and walking by. And the truth of the matter is, we talk about the good, you know, pleasing, perfect will of Yahweh, spoken about in the book of Romans, that depth. We are in a time period now where it's no longer Yahweh's will for us just to be in the good will, His good will. You know, that's attainable, that salvation place, that place of confession of salvation. We are to be in the perfect, absolute, perfect will of Yeshua. And for those of us who are listening today, we are called to that place. We have the truth. We know the truth. You listening, you know the truth. You know you've entered into salvation. You've entered into that first covenant. You know Torah is there for your lifestyle. The Mosaic covenant should be taken care of. We are to be embodying a perfect lifestyle. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that we get down on ourselves when we make mistakes. Being in that perfect will is pursuing the perfect will of Yahweh, that everything in your life lines up, Yosef. Every single thing. It's no longer good enough to say, oh, I struggle with this, but whatever. Oh, I'm not so good in this area, but I'm not going to sort it out. Oh, I'm not so great about my woundedness. I'm not going to sort it out. It is about abiding in that perfect, perfect will of Yahweh and bearing that perfect, perfect fruit. I believe that Yahweh, that is who Yahweh is looking for right now. That is His will for this generation. And we're going to touch on that as well. You know, there are different desires for every generation that Yahweh is doing. What is the desire for this generation? And that's what we need to ask ourselves, because the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, is given to us to empower us to fulfill the mandate that we have in our generation. And that mandate looks different. We are closely approaching Yeshua's return. So we have a divine mandate that looks very different from what it looked like in Acts chapter 2.
You know, it's interesting, Aaliyah, you mentioned the you know, that we need to be in His perfect will. And, you know, that word perfect, we've spoken about so many times, that word is tamim. To be in His perfect will means that we're supposed to be blameless, spotless, tamim. We're supposed to be pure and holy and righteous. And you know what's interesting is that when you read this passage that Peter's talking, he makes reference over and over, and he says, you know, firstly, you need to be diligent. Secondly, you need to conduct yourselves. And he says your conduct and the way that you live needs to be spotless and blameless. And he actually uses those two words, spotless and blameless. And he's, like you say, he's referring to our conduct, to that tamim state, that state of being set apart, holy, righteous, blameless, pure. And he's actually saying, you know what, you need to be spotless and blameless. And he used the same words, these two Greek words that are used here, is the same two words that he speaks about in 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, but in reference there he speaks about Yeshua. And he says, you know, Yeshua is the spotless and blameless lamb that was slain. So he's saying, in the same manner that Yeshua was tamim, he was perfect in all of his ways, he was righteous, he was holy, he was set apart, in the way that he was blameless and spotless, so too you need to be blameless and spotless. And that, like you're saying, Aaliyah, is not a person that is just doing the good will of Yahweh. That is a person that has said to themselves, you know what, my salvation came at a price. My salvation, and that's what Peter's speaking about here. He's saying, you know what, at the end, everything that you do, all your works, whether it's going to be sticks or whether it's going to be bricks, is going to be burned up by fire. And the fire that is coming is going to be of such an intense heat that it's going to distinguish between those that are just good and doing the good will and those that are doing the tamim will of Yahweh. Because in the end, you're going to be judged by your works. And there are works of righteousness and there are works of darkness. And only those works that you're doing, and that's what he's saying, is going to be revealed by fire. That's why it is so imperative that we understand the purpose of fire. Fire has been given, you know, fire is judgment, but fire is also righteousness and holiness and set apartness and set ablaze and set on fire. And when we understand that, then we come to a point where we say, okay, my fire is burning, but am I just doing the good? Am I still in the goodwill where there is just this little bit of fire? Or am I set ablaze during this tamim? And you know, when you know, Aaliyah, when we get to that Tamim, it's because we've allowed the fire that started here at the goodwill of Yahweh, at our salvation experience, to burn in us. And by doing that, you see, this is why it's so important that we understand that, you know, faith in us produces obedience, and that obedience to Yahweh's word produces in us these garments of righteousness and holiness. So it's important that we understand the Torah of Yahweh, and Peter talks about it. In order for us to be these people on fire for Yahweh, we need to be diligent in our walk, and our walk has to reflect the walk of Messiah Yeshua. So it's important that we understand that we need the Spirit, but we also need the truth. And the Spirit and the truth, that's why Yeshua says, you cannot have the one without the other. And unfortunately today, some people want to be all truth and no Spirit, and others want to be all Spirit and no truth. So we have to get to a point where we are conducting our lives in a diligent way so that we become Tamim. Because it's all about being righteous and holy as He wants us to be.
Exactly. And you said, what is the purpose of this fire? You know, Yeshua sent, it's incredible. Think about it. The Holy Spirit could have appeared as anything on Shavuot. When the Holy Spirit came upon Yeshua, you know, at His baptism, it appeared as a dove.
That's right.
And so oftentimes when people reflect the Holy Spirit, or they do a drawing of the Holy Spirit, or they want to speak of the Spirit, there's that picture of the dove that they use, you know, the Spirit is the dove. But the truth of the matter is, in Acts 2, on this very first giving of the fullness of the Spirit, the gift that Yeshua said that they were to wait to have, it appeared as fire. The Holy Spirit could have appeared as anything, truthfully, but Yahweh showed it as fire, and that fire came upon them that were waiting. And it is exactly as you said, what is the purpose of fire? The fire, we read that, you know, the earth the first time was destroyed, so to say, in Noah's day by water. Yahweh made this covenant to say that that would never happen again. It would never be destroyed by water again. There's not going to be this great flood that the climate people predict and stuff like that, because that's not the reality. But what the climate people do get right is that the earth is heating up, and it's heating up physically and spiritually, because the Bible tells us that, and it tells us right here in Peter and in many other scriptures, that the next time the earth is going to be destroyed, it's going to be destroyed by fire. Now, why did the Ruach appear as fire? Because the purpose of fire is recreation. Mm-hmm. It is about, you know what, the fire that came upon the people was to really take away everything that was impure. Fire is that purification, and it is the purification of us. It was the purification for them and for us. So therefore, if we are standing in the final days and we really are living in that perfect will of Yahweh, and if we really are, you know, allowing His Spirit to consistently purify us and getting rid of all those things, we don't have to fear the fire that's going to come at the end. You know, as Peter says, that all these things will be destroyed in this intense heat. Elements will be destroyed with intense heat. The earth and all of the works that's upon it, it will be burnt up. And there's an important scripture even found in Isaiah 66, this great prophecy from verse 15, which says, see, Yahweh is coming with fire, and His swift chariots roar like a whirlwind. He will bring punishment with the fury of His anger and the flaming fire of His hot rebuke. Yahweh will punish the world by fire, and by His sword He will judge the earth. Many will be killed. But those who consecrate and purify themselves, he goes on to talk about this, you know, they will be protected. And then those who do not purify themselves, the fire will destroy them. This is the purpose of the fire. If we are purified through the work of the Ruach, who appeared as fire on that time, if we are purified by that refining fire, as it's called, we will not have to fear that time. Like we always say, that those who are truly saved, Yahweh's true remnant, His true believers, His true saints, you know, they are not destined to the wrath of Yahweh, not destined to receive that fire upon you so you can be destroyed. The purpose of it is recreation. You know, it's to recreate you to be a whole new being. And that's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is also in our lives. That is why we consistently say please, 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 if you have not been prayed for, to be filled with the with the Ruach, with the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, then you need to be prayed for to be filled with the Spirit, because the Spirit is the one that helps you be able to come into all the truth. Also, you know, be connected to the Father, not feel fatherless, you know, not be dealing with these things, and also to be purified, to really have things worked out in your life, to be comforted, to, you know, have a connection with Abba Father. The Ruach is so vital to every single thing that we do. It is a guarantee that we are sons and daughters of the Most High as well, that we have an inheritance. Amen. It teaches us all those things. The Ruach is essential to our walk. And again, you know what? We have these very false theological teachings that say the Ruach only manifests like this. That's not true. It's not just the speaking in tongues, and it's not just, you know, for, you know, charismatic gifts or anything like that. And also that there's a theology that says, oh, the day that I was saved, I was automatically filled with the Spirit. No one needs to pray for me. That's not actually true. And this is very important what we're talking about when it comes to having the Spirit and maintaining that fire in our lives.
You know, Leah, I think that's a very good point that you just made, because I think there's a lot of people that struggle with this, pardon me, with this understanding of the Spirit. And it's important for us to understand that, you know, we have the fire and we have water. And that in the beginning, that when we get saved and when we get baptized, it's this cleansing of a water that takes place in our lives. But then we see the fire and how important it is for us to be filled with the Spirit, but also to be prayed for the infilling of the Spirit so that we can be set ablaze. There is a importance to understanding the difference between water baptism and Spirit baptism and being baptized with fire. Yeshua himself said to his disciples that there is this baptism that I desire for you to be baptized with fire, because it's when we are baptized with fire that there is this empowerment, that there is this gifting and this moving forward in the Spirit realm with Yahweh's truth and with what we have been given. So the disciples were, I believe, baptized in a sense with the water, but there comes this point where they are baptized with the fire and with the Spirit of Yahweh that helps them to do what they need to do. And it also empowers them to become a witness. And I think that for many of us, we've been maybe baptized and we've been mikvahed by water, but so many of us, we have this tendency to kind of, we're scared of this fire baptism or this infilling of the Ruach because of things that have happened within churches or things that we've seen, you know, the wrong manifestations maybe of the giftings and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, he says here very clearly, and Peter makes it very, very, you know, he's the one actually from the very beginning in the book of Acts that stands up and proclaims, you know, this message about the need for the Ruach. And he talks and he says in Acts chapter 3, a little bit later, he says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, he says, you know, repent and be baptized for times of refreshing so that Messiah Yeshua or Yahweh can send you Messiah Yeshua. So he's talking about this importance that we are repenting, but also at the same time, he's talking about, you know, this fire that brings a distinction between the holy and the profane. And I think that that's where the key comes in, that we come to a point where we understand that Yahweh's fire is proclaimed for judgment. Those that are doing wicked and are not living according to his ways, those that are not doing what he's called them to do, their works will be distinguished by fire. And that's what Peter says. And those that are doing what Yahweh has called them to do, their works will also be distinguished by fire, but their works will remain because it won't just be, you know, rubbish or kind of sticks. So there's this importance that I think people misunderstand. There is the baptism or the mikveh in water, but there is this need for us to be baptized or anointed, is another way of putting it, prayed for the infilling of the Ruach, so that we can be a witness, so that we can be diligent servants of Yahweh. And it's that fire in us that helps us to maintain not only our garments, but also maintain our walk with the Father, so that we can be set apart, holy and righteous and pure. And you know, the disciples, if you read in the book of Acts, many of them were timid. Many of them struggled to speak fluently, and when they were baptized or when they were filled with the Ruach, they became bold witnesses of Yahweh's truth. And I believe that's, you know, an important thing that we understand. You know, you asked the question, What is the truth that is in our generation? And it's important that we get to the point where we say to ourselves, what is the truth of this generation? What is it that Yahweh wants from me? Why does Yahweh desire for me to be alive in this generation so that I can make a difference? And I think that's the thing, Aaliyah, that we really need to consider. And hopefully by the end of this evening, those that are listening, including ourselves, will be able to have a point where we say, this is what the Father desires from me. This is what He wants from me. And this is why I'm alive in this generation.
That would be wonderful. We're going to go to our first song of the evening, and we want you really to enjoy this song. We actually love this song. It's called Show Me Your Glory. When we get back, we will continue the conversation.
Caught a glimpse of your splendor in the corner of my eye, the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And it was like a flash of lightning reflected off the sky, and I know I'll never be the same. Settle for ordinary things. I'm gonna follow you forever, for all of my days. I won't rest till I see you again.
The Restoration Hour, and it's a happy, happy Shavuot. If you're wondering what the noise was earlier on, was because our cat was jumping on everything again, just like he did last week, because he gets super excited when it's the Restoration Hour. I do not blame him, because this is a wonderful time to fellowship together. I really want us to touch on and to really look at the crux of you know, what I believe Shavuot really is about this year, and something that Abba Father's really laid on our hearts. And that is Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 really is about the directive for what would happen with Shavuot, the directive for why the Spirit was and what Yeshua was really telling them. And I so fully believe that this directive that was given was, you know, something given, yes, for their generation, but really something that is given for our generation as well. And Acts chapter 1 is when Yeshua, of course, is standing there and he's saying repeatedly to them that you must get together, don't leave Jerusalem, wait for what the Father has promised. Exactly like you said before we went to the song, yes, if John baptized with water, you'll be baptized and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And Yeshua said that to them, and he said to them, you know what, go to Jerusalem. You've been with me now, you know, I've resurrected, I've been with you 40 days. Now, I'm not going to be anymore. Go and wait for that promise that the Father has promised, the gift. He actually says, go and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit, what the Father has promised. Then they actually asked him, you know, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, that was very much first and foremost on their hearts. And I think we often overlook that, and we often don't pay much attention to it. And we just go, oh, they asked him this question. But they were anticipating a kingdom, and they were part of a people that were anticipating a kingdom. We ourselves feel that burden to say, you know, I'd love to live in the kingdom of Yeshua. It's unlike the kingdom of this world. When is this going to happen? When is it going to take place? For them, it was a great, you know, desire within them, and they were looking for the right thing. But it was going to manifest in a very different way. Mm. Yes, Yeshua does answer them and say, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, which sounds like a bit of a rebuke, and it can be interpreted like that. But he goes on to actually tell them that which is truth. It just had to interpret it. And it's that you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Amen. This was so important because it was about the desire for a kingdom. That was the right desire, like I said. But it would manifest differently. What was their role? It was about taking the message of the kingdom of Yeshua to where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the ends of the world. Mm. That was their directive. It was for kingdom to come through them. It was through the kingdom to come to earth. It was for that message of the kingdom to begin to go out, not just from the places that they were in and that they had been preaching in, Yeshua had been, you know, ministering there, but it was about now the ends of the world, the known world at that time, and for us, the ends of the earth. As you know, we know how big the earth is now. We know how many people are upon it. The mandate for us is still very much the same. But Yeshua is telling them that the only way that they could do that and fulfill their generational mandate, which I keep referring to, is that they needed the power of the Holy Spirit. Though they were asking, when is the kingdom going to come? And, you know, is it all going to be restored? He was saying to them, there's a work that needs to be done to bring the kingdom to the earth, to bring the kingdom to people, to bring the message of the kingdom spoken through my death, my resurrection, my life. Everything that you would need to take to people, you're going to need to take a message about the kingdom, which is not of this world. It's not a physical thing like what you're looking for. It's a deeply spiritual thing. And the only way that you can do that is actually through having the power of the Spirit. So though they were looking for the right thing, they weren't looking for it in the right way. And same can be about our lives. We could know that Yahweh's called us to a certain thing, but we just go about it wrong, you know, or we just misunderstand the directive. And that's something then that we need to bring our hearts back to. He's trying to bring them back to the point of saying, this promise has always been given. I've been speaking to you about the Holy Spirit for a long time. John 14 speaks about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, leading you into all the truth. While he's been with them for however long he was with them, he's been speaking about the Ruach. And that was what they needed to focus on. If it was so important to Yeshua that he wanted them to receive it, then we need to understand that the receiving of the Ruach, I mean, baptized with the Spirit, is very, very vitally important to us. Mm-hmm. It was so important to Yeshua that they understood that mandate. And that mandate was that they would have the Spirit. And you know what? It was a manifold thing that took place. They waited, they went, and then they waited. We know Yeshua gets taken up. But then they go and they, you know what, go into that upper room and they wait and they wait and they wait. And like we said, it could have been quite a while, could have been, you know, hard. It must have been difficult and it must have been hard to be there. And it was a kind of almost a 10-day journey. Even though they were in one place, it's a journey that you take within yourself. And the message that they needed for their time was that they needed to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I said earlier on that that Spirit appeared in fire. When it fell then in Acts chapter 2, which we read about, it actually says that there was that violent rushing wind, which we just read about in Isaiah 66 and in 2 Peter 3, this rushing wind that came. And then it said that the fire came into the room, and then it divided, and then it appeared as tongues of fire. So the fire could have just fallen. It could have been just one whole thing, but it wasn't. It divided up and became tongues of fire. Why? Because the mandate for the disciples, the mandate for the people that were standing there, was the mandate that they would have to preach, they would have to speak, they would have to spread, and they would have to tell. This was their mandate. It was about preaching, teaching, telling, speaking. It had every single thing to do with your voice, with your tongue, with the message. And so the Holy Spirit appeared there as tongues of fire, because it would have to be that the gospel needed to be preached, that the kingdom message, which was a depth of message, needed to be spoken to everywhere. It needed to be Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. It needed to go out. Their mandate was first receive the Spirit and then spread the gospel. And think about it. We are dealing with something that was completely new in their generation. No one had been filled with the Spirit before. This is why, you know, the whole theology of the church was birthed here came from this experience. No, it wasn't the church was birthed. It was never birthed here. It was a reality that the disciples, and that includes the 12, which they had a new member because obviously Judas had killed himself. There was the 12 disciples, and even more than the 12. We keep on thinking that, you know, 12 disciples, there were a lot more followers of Yeshua who were considered disciples. They, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, moved from just being a disciple, which is merely a follower of a teacher, into being an apostle. This is when the mandate changed. It went from being, I'm just a follower, to being, I'm a sent forth one. I'm a sent out one. You know, you can't be sent forth with the message if you don't have the fire of your voice to be able to proclaim that message. And this is why the Holy Spirit was revealed as these tongues of fire, because their mandate was to become sent out ones. Because why? In their generation, firstly, the Holy Spirit had never been given. It was never given before that generation, right? Now they're going to receive that. In their generation, things are changing. Yeshua was with them. It was this reality. They needed to take that reality to everybody else that had not received that reality yet, that didn't have the Bible that we have today, that doesn't have the message of truth that we have today. So this generation had all of these things given to them, and they needed to take it to a different people. They needed to take it out from within themselves. And so this was their directive. When Yeshua appeared to them, it was so that they could understand this. It was so that they could do this. It was so that they could really, really take this message further. And so we need to then say to ourselves as well, and I've said this before, later on, you know, they had this great mystery that kind of began to happen among them. And that was that the Gentiles were coming to faith, and that now in Messiah Yeshua, Jew and Gentile are now one. And that was a great mystery in their day. And it was also something that really, it really confounded them. They had meetings about it, and the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 about it, and it was a big deal. You know, suddenly it's not just us, not just us Jewish people. It's been, you know, all of us Jews. Now it's non-Jewish people, and that was a great mystery, and it was quite difficult for them, and they had to understand it. They had to receive it. They had to figure it out. They had to really figure out how to be. But if I lay out all these things to you and I say that this is what happened to them, what is the mandate that we keep referring to? What is it then for us? The Holy Spirit is kind of, let's put it in inverted commas, old news. We know what the Holy Spirit can do. We know, you know, we've seen great revivals, we've seen miracles, even maybe in our own lives, maybe we've read about it through history, we've seen these things happen. We also know that you don't have to just be Jewish to be saved. You know, this is an old story. People who are trying to sell that message today, you know, they've got to be quite careful, because that mystery of Jew and Gentile as one is something that was revealed 2,000 years ago. We need to be used to that message now. Not that, you know, people that, not that it's not important that Jewish people get saved. It is, because it's spoken about. But it is a message we should be used to. We should be used to, you know, that happening. We should be used to, you know, the fact that the Holy Spirit is with us and that we can receive it. And we should be used to the fact that we got to take the gospel out. And the gospel has been going out. Missionaries are going out and they will continue to go out. And the unreached people will be reached. And we say yes and amen. So if all these things are things that have been with us for 2,000 years, we have to say now, Holy Spirit, as we are refilled this year on Shavuot, as we receive your Spirit anew, what is your message to me today? What is your generational mandate to me today? And I fully believe that the generational mandate is no longer just going out and preaching the gospel. It is now about a great move of the Ruach, the signs, wonders, and miracles, as we always have said for so many years, Yosef, that it is now about the fact that the glory of Yahweh needs to be revealed upon the earth. The second book of Acts will be written. And yes, there's a twofold step for this. First, there are those forerunners that will go out and that will lay down their lives, that will be moving across the earth. And they will also be sent out ones in an apostolic reality of, no, not the false apostolic that we see rising up today, the true apostolic thing of going, we are sent forth to do the signs and wonders, miracles, and to proclaim the message of Yeshua's truth. And they will prepare a remnant who will then remain to do great works as well. And we need to know which part of this we fall into and how to live a daily pattern of holiness so that we can be part of those groups that will go out. Not everybody's going to be at the forerunners. It's a very small select group. But everybody that decides can be part of a great remnant who will do great works upon the earth.
Amen. You know, Leah, I'm just reminded of something that you said, and it's important, I think, that, you know, we understand that they, you know, we always read the Bible, and, you know, we know the book of Acts was a letter that was written, you know, the Acts of the Apostles. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, in a previous teaching a long time ago, I made this claim or this statement saying that we need to understand that for that generation, the Acts of the Apostles was written because it was the Acts of those apostles at that time. But we need to understand that Yeshua is still writing that story right now, and that it has maybe just not fallen into the Bible as yet per se, but we are still seeing, you know, Yeshua through the power of his Spirit sending out people to be apostles, to raise up a remnant, to proclaim the gospel, to prepare a people for his soon return. And if Yeshua himself said, you know, greater things than I've done, this is what you will do, then we need to understand that these acts of the apostles, or these acts of the sent forth ones, is still being done, and it's still being written. And that's why, like you said, it's important that we understand, you know, the working of the Spirit, but also that we understand now more than ever, you know, like Peter said, he said there is something very important. And I think that it starts with this understanding that Yahweh from the very beginning wanted a chosen generation, a peculiar people, those people that are set apart for him. And it starts with us. Mm-hmm. It starts with us saying, you know what, Yahweh, I don't want to just be part of, you know, the followers anymore. I don't want to be just part of those that are just believers. I want to come and I want to be filled with your Spirit. It's us coming to him and saying, I'm hungry. You know, there was a song many years ago that was sung that was all about, you know, hungry I come to you. And that's the truth. When we come hungry to the Father, then he will fill us. And it's a continual filling of his Ruach, so that, like you said, each year we can be in step with him. But, you know, I want to say something. Peter says something very important, and he says this. He says that, you know, that we need to be diligent in how we conduct ourselves, because everything is going to be tested by fire. So he says you need to be diligent in how you live. But that diligence is not only about how we live, but it's also when we are filled with the Spirit of Yahweh. You see the apostles and the disciples, they had this diligence in proclaiming the truth, or they had this diligence in going out and making a difference. And I believe that when we are filled with Yahweh's Spirit and walking in holiness, there's a diligence that we need to have in getting other people saved and getting people to the truth and getting people into the kingdom. And that's what it means to be a sent out one. You know, Yeshua, it says that Yeshua himself was the one that was sent forth from the Father. And we read about the 144,000. It says that they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They are sent by him because they have the seal upon their forehead. He marks them for a specific purpose, and they are sent forth into the world to do the works that he has called them to do. So I really agree with you, Aaliyah, that now more than ever we need to actually be pausing and saying to the Father, and this is, you know, I think this is where people they pause and then they run away, because people have this, we have this thing inside of us that this is going to cost me something. Yes, it is. It's going to cost you your life. But in the end, it's going to be for the kingdom. It's going to be for Yahweh's glory. So we need to actually be people that say, you know what? I'm laying it all down. I'm laying it all down, and I want to receive more. And you can't come, and this is what I said in the beginning, you can't come with your glass half full or come with things in your hands that you're holding. You have to come wanting and desiring to be filled with His Spirit, and then He will guide us into all truth. And I really do believe that, you know, every Shavuot, I believe every Shavuot from the generations past till now has been a time period where Yeshua, by his grace, is wanting to reach out to his people and pour out that fire in their lives. But it's up to us. You know, from the very beginning, we read about where Moses and you know, we're not saying that that was when the Torah was given. I'm talking about the time where, yes, Yahweh was calling the people to the foot of the mountain. And you know what's interesting? Every time that Yahweh wants to appear, or every time he wants to give something, he desires for you and I to prepare ourselves. So he gave the disciples 10 days to prepare themselves. And in that time, yes, like you said, doubt, fear, and all these things could have set in. But the truth of the matter is, in this generation that we're living in today, with fast foods and everything has to be now, and we have our cell phones and everything's instant, how long will people wait for this? How long will people truly sit there in the upper room, phones off, TV off, cell phone down, you know, everything away from you, and just pray for 10 days waiting to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, this gift of His Ruach? I think people, you know, nowadays people can't even sit still for 5 hours, you know, let alone an hour sometimes, even, where people just, they can't. So this desire, I really feel now more than ever in this generation that we're living in, is we have to come and say, Father, I am willing, I'm wanting, and I desire to be filled. And he could put you in a place where you have to wait and eagerly and anticipate to be filled with His Spirit. So I want to say to you this Shavuot, it's time that we distance ourselves from the world and allow ourselves to be in His presence, where we are quiet before Him and allowing Him to speak to us and to give us His Ruach, where we are not confused or caught up in the things of this world.
It's a beautiful gift, this Ruach. It's a beautiful fact that Yeshua gave us His Spirit, that we would not be left, you know, alone. And you said, you know, just now, Yosef, about people fearing that it might cost them something. I think that that's a fear that unbelievers have. But I truly believe that if people are sitting here this evening talking about us, talking with us and listening to us, excuse me, then they've already counted the cost. Amen. And so essentially it's not really going to cost you anything. It's just going to maybe be a bit of a mindset shift, you know, or a bit of a difference. And it's going to be more exciting than anything else. The journey is more exciting. But for those who are already on the journey, you know, we are saying tonight, we are saying there's a message that's going out in this generation. Can you hear the message? Can you hear the mandate? Can you hear it? And will you receive it? And will you run with it? And will you pick it up? And will you become part of the remnant or the forerunners or what Yahweh is doing now? And that's not a message going out on social media. It's not a message going out on our television sets. It's not a message the media will tell you. It's not a message you're going to find in a movie. It's a message you're going to find in the upper room. And that upper room is your prayer room. And it's that personal time that you gather with Him. And when you gather with other believers, those who have their ear firmly on the chest of Yeshua, hearing His heartbeat, they may be one or two or three or four, but they are hearing the same message. And that is the message to say, something is being raised up, and that is us. We need to fulfill what we need to fulfill. There is so much noise in this world. There's so much clamor. There is so much to distract us. There is so much, I just want to say the word junk, everywhere, that we can be so easily looking at other things. But when we really press our ear hard against Yeshua's heartbeat, what do we hear? Yes, we hear a personal mandate, and you and I both have a personal mandate. I have a different mandate to you. You have a different mandate to me, but we also have a collective one, and that is the one that we must follow hard after. Yeshua is interested in us individually, but he's also very interested in the people, because he said he's coming back for a people. He called that people Israel. He called them a united nation together. He's always interested in us as individuals, but he's very interested in us as a group. And that is why he told the group to go and wait for him in the upper room. He didn't just send Peter off on his own and James over there and John over there. Go together, because together there is also a mandate. The mandate for this generation is that there will be signs and wonders, and that we need to be positioned well in a place of holiness to perform the mighty works that he is calling you and I to perform. We're going to go to our final song of the evening, called Fall Afresh by Jeremy Riddle. But when we get back, we really want to enter a time of prayer with you, so don't go anywhere. And yes, let's just let the Ruach lead that time of prayer. Enjoy the song.
Awaken my soul, come awake. To hunger, to seek, to thirst. Awaken first love, come away. And do as you did at first. Spirit of the living God, on me, come wake me from my sleep. Blow through the caverns of my soul, pour in me to overflow. Awaken my soul.
my sleep. Blow through the caverns of my soul, pour it be to overflow.
Yeshua, we thank you so much for your amazing grace, your amazing goodness. And Father, we just open up our hearts to you this evening, that you will come and just fill our hearts, and that you'll just fill us afresh. And Father, whatever we have need of this evening, that you'll meet us in the places of our needs. That Father, whatever is there in our hearts, Father, that we are crying out to you about, Father, we pray tonight, Father, that we will feel your nearness, that we will know that you are listening, that we will know that you are truly, truly with us. Father, on this wonderful feast day that you have given to us, you've always said, Father, that these are your appointed times, the times that we can meet with you. And it's a sacred moment, Father, a time where we can really, really just be with you. And Abba Father, I just really pray that you'll meet us where we are, and that we will meet with you, that you'll fill us again, and that you will give us the message that you want us to walk with, Father, the mandate that you want us to have as we open up our hands to you this evening. Father, we pray that you will fill our hands with that which you have for us. That, Father, it will be filled with your purpose, with your plans, Father, with everything that we have need of. Father, in this generation of true decay, Father, that we see around us, I pray that we will stand as huge light beams, Father, in this generation. We will be the fragrance of Messiah Yeshua wherever we go. And I pray that you will seal us up with your Holy Spirit, Father, so that we can be those lights, so we can also know, Father, that we have an inheritance with you, that we will not forget who we are. As Father, sometimes we can forget that we are children of the Most High God, that we are, Father, truly of your line, your lineage, and that we have a place with you. And that, Father, I pray that we will stand tall in the confidence, the holy boldness that you give us, Father, in this generation. And I pray that we will be part of the great moves that you will do over the next years, Father, and the next time frames, that we'll be part of those moves, Father Yahweh, in just a really great way, that you will use our lives and perfect us by the power of your Spirit. We thank you, Father, for those who went before us. We thank you that you set this wonderful example for us when your disciples waited in the upper room to be filled with your Spirit. It was such an example of how we can wait, such an example of what you had for us. And Yeshua, such an example of receiving this true gift. And we just pray that we will always be expecting, that we will always be waiting, that we will always be anticipating what you have for us, Father. And this evening, we just praise you. I thank you for every single person that has joined us. I pray your mighty blessing over them, Father, each and every single one of them, as they bring their hearts to you this evening. Father, I pray that you'll fashion and shape and mold them to be exactly who you want them to be, that they'll walk in your perfect will, that they'll bear fruit, that they'll have fruitful lives that are blessings, not only to others, but to them, Father. And I thank you for every single person that has joined us today. We give you all the glory, all the praise. Again, Father, we commit our hearts to you, our lives to you, everything that we are. And we give you all the glory and all the praise for this. In the mighty name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's been so wonderful to share this brief Shavuot moment with you. We pray that you and your family will be so blessed as you celebrate this festival. And we just send you so much love and a warm hug this evening from us to you. And we pray that our Father's grace, his goodness, his kindness, his peace, his mercy, his joy and all comfort and hope and glory will be shining in your life today and over the next week. Until we see you next week again, Shavua Shavua Tov, and enjoy the feast.
Shalom, everybody.
Rejoice, teranya ber. kegelap dan telah sirna. Sujudlah padanya, sujudlah padanya. Nasbuh